Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. This is Pastor Dexter Scott Christian coming to you live right now on the Hour of Overflow and Restoration broadcast on this third day of May 2015. Boy, I tell you, the year is really getting away from us. The next thing we know, it will be Christmas. Amen. But we are also coming up on a very special day this month, Mother's Day. So I want to say early happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers out here. And we just thank and praise God for our mamas. Amen. And be sure and pay special attention to your mother if she is still with you. Amen. Tell her how much you love her. Buy her a gift. Shower her with love. We know you do it every day of the year, but we want to put special emphasis on that day. Amen. We're glad to be coming to you right now this morning, coming into your living rooms, or maybe you are riding along in your car. Maybe you are on your way to an early morning church service, or maybe you're just lounging in the bed. Maybe you're getting off of work. But for whatever reason it is that you are listening to our broadcast, we want to say thank you for tuning in and being a part of this wonderful ministry. Amen. Our goal and our focus is to bring you a present word, a word that will help you, something that you can apply to your life, tell others about it, and be willing to share with your friends and loved ones, letting them know that this is the hour of overflow and restoration. The Bible tells us that His word is a light unto our feet and a light unto our pathway, and that we are not to lean to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, we ought to acknowledge Him. And that's what our focus is, to bring you the word. We're not flamboyant. We're not strange. We're not one of these type of ministries that try to impress you with a lot of shenanigans. But I believe that the word of God is strong enough to stand on its own. The Bible declares that the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to all of them that believe. So if you are listening in, please text someone, message someone, call someone, and tell them to call in to this broadcast this morning. You tell them they can call in at 718-766-4882. 718-766-4882. And if they would like to speak to me live, all they have to do is hit 1 on their telephone, and I will acknowledge them. I will be able to see that they have called in, and I will call out the last 4 digits of your phone number. And that will be towards the end of the show, end of the broadcast, and you will be able to speak with me live, give your comments, your testimonies, your criticisms, or just tell me how much you enjoyed the word. Amen. So at this time, we're going to move forward into our broadcast, have a wonderful word of inspiration, a wonderful word of correction, a wonderful word of direction, depending on where you are in your life. But either way, it will truly be a blessing to you. Amen. And that's what we strive to do, to be a blessing to you through the word of the Most High God. Amen. But before we go any further, I want to just pray a prayer for you before we enter into the word. We want to invite the Spirit of God in on this broadcast. Amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is unity. So no matter where you're at, I want you to just focus on glory right now, because surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. It's in this place. Wherever this broadcast is going forward, I'm just praying and believing that the Spirit of the Lord is right there where you're at. And I know that where the Spirit of God is, He can release you from all hurt and worry and concern. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, healing can take place. Miracles can break forth. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is true liberty. The Spirit of God will cast out all fear and release you from the bonds that hold you. And we just thank and praise the Lord for his blessings. Thank Him for His word. God, we thank You for this day that is before us, a day that You have given us, God, to bring glory to Your name. And Father, what better way to start out that day than to hear a word from You, God, that we may be a blessing to somebody that we may hide this word in our heart, that we might not sin against you. And Father, we know that your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word, O God, can go down into the innermost parts of our beings, Father. Your word can be a blessing to us in the deepest place of our existence. And God, we just thank you that you have blessed us and you have lifted us out of the perils and above the pain and high above the situations of this world. God, you have mounted up on wings like eagles so that we can fly above the problems, Father, that we can get a different viewpoint, a different vantage point, God. Father, that we may know that you can lift us up above every situation. And God, we thank you for victory right now. We thank you for the victory that you have secured on the cross. God, we praise you, Father, that this battle does not belong to us, but this battle belongs to the Lord. Hallelujah. And God, so we thank you for the victory, the sweet victory, God. We thank you, Father, that you have overcome the world for us and that you have defeated every work of the enemy. God, we thank you that sickness and disease has to step back because by your stripes we are healed. And Father, we know, God, that you have supplied all of our needs according to your riches and glory. For truly the Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. So, God, we stand on your word. We walk by faith and not by sight. Father, we believe that you are the true and the living God, that you are not dead, but you are yet alive. For surely you have sent your son, Jesus Christ, into this world. And not only has he conquered the grave, conquered death, but he rose again on the third day, Father, and he has forgiven us of all of our sins. He has washed us, and now we are whiter than snow. Our sins have been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And now, God, we commit ourselves to walk wholly before you, to walk in your word, to be strong in the power of your might, to put on the whole armor of God in the name of Jesus. And now, God, I pray for every listener, Father, every person who has tuned in to this broadcast this morning. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that miracles will take place in their life. I pray, God, that no weapon that is formed against them will be able to prosper. God, I thank you, God, that you shall manifest everything that they stand in need for, that this is the season and the hour of manifestation. Father, I thank you that those things that have been hidden from them, those things that have shadowed them, Father, I pray that those things that have eluded them, Father, everything that the enemy has tried to keep them from, everything that circumstances and setbacks has tried to keep them from, God, I pray that they will experience breakthrough right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for breakthrough for the people of God. I thank you, Father, that everything that you have purposed and planned to take place in their life, God, they shall see it with their own eyes in the name of Jesus. And, Father, we thank you, God, that your word is true, that your word is true, that your word is evident, God, that your word is powerful. And so, God, we thank you for manifestation. We thank you, God, that this prayer is being heard by you, Father, for you declared in your word that this is the confidence that we have in you, that when we pray, you hear us, God. And, Father, we thank you that you have heard us. Thank you that the angels have been dispatched, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, on our behalf. And so, God, we stand in faith, Father, knowing that these things shall be so. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. I see you callers calling in. Please be with me through the entire broadcast. If you would like to speak with me personally at some point, just hit 1 on your telephone, and I will be more than glad to speak with you. Amen. If you are on your way to church and you may not be able to listen to the whole thing, amen, I just thank you for listening in for the time that you have. Amen. Because I'm looking at you, caller, with the number ending in 7136. I'm looking at you, caller, number ending in 0923. Caller whose number is ending in 61275. Amen. Thank you for calling again. But listen, we have a wonderful word for you this morning coming out of the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to look at a few verses beginning at verse number 24. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, beginning at verse number 24. Amen. Verse number 24. And it reads, "Know ye not," and I'm reading out of the King James Version, "know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receives the prize? Listen at this. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. Therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Amen, amen. "I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Amen. Amen. In this scripture, the Apostle Paul said something in this particular scripture that I want to focus on. In verse number 24, the last part of that verse, he said, "So run that ye may obtain." Run that ye may obtain. Praise the Lord. So this morning, I'm going to speak to you from a message called, "It's Time to Make a Run For It." You ought to tell the person that you are sitting next to that it's time to make a run for it. Yeah, yeah. It's time to get up from where we have been sitting and make a run for the prize. It's time to move. It's time to get up from the place that we have warmed with our backsides, that we have gotten hot from sitting. It's time for us to get up, start training, and run that we may obtain. This message is about determination as we walk in the calling, in the life, in the Christian walk of God. This is about getting up from the place that you have resided in, the place that you have wasted time in, and get some giddy up about yourself and move forward in what you know God has called you to. Praise the Lord. In this book of 1 Corinthians, this is Paul's letter to Corinth. And Corinth was an unusual church. Amen. I thought this church was unusual, but I'm going to tell you why. This church was largely made up of Gentiles, come on somebody, and ex-pagans. As I was reading about this church, I even found out that this church was not only made up of ex-pagans, but a large portion of this church was from the criminal world. Praise the Lord. There were Jewish refugees in this church, and what we would come to know as former thugs. Come on. Amen. And I thought that this church was unusual, but when I thought about it, this church is normal, because every church that I can think of has got people in it that may have a terrible past. Come on. How many know that the church is made up of people that if they could just forget about yesterday, if they could just keep under wraps what they came out of, there are people sitting in church that hope that their past never catch up with them. This church of Corinth was made up of all kinds of people, former witches, former warlocks. Come on, somebody. This church was made up of former criminals, former religious folks. Some of them were still religious. This church was made up of people that was running from something. Come on. Amen. And if you will admit it, you will let us know that you came into the body of Christ. Maybe you was running from something. Maybe you was running from somebody. Maybe you was trying to leave your past behind. Come on. I believe all of us that know the name of Christ was trying to leave our past behind. But you may have come into the body of Christ under some extenuating circumstances that if you had not come, you probably would have lost your life. You probably would have been still tied up in whatever it is that you was in. But the church is made up of the full gambit of every type of person. Every sin is represented in the church. Every past is represented in the church. People always act surprised when they find out that their favorite preacher, their favorite deacon, the mother that sit next to them every Sunday, or the brother that they had seen coming to church day in or day out, they get surprised. They act surprised when they find out that that person is not perfect. Come on. But the reason why any of us are saved is because we didn't have it all together. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I can tell you that no matter how clean your clothes are, or how big your house is, or how many tags you put on your car and say that you are, that this car was a blessing from God, no matter how many testimonies you have of the miracles that took place in your life, no matter what your title is, apostle, no matter what your title is, bishop or prophet or evangelist, when we peel back all the layers of your church life, we will find somebody that was saved so as by fire. You miss hell by the simple confession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you that sometimes I feel like we forget about it. Have you ever just took the time, amen, and said, and just took the time and stepped back and said, God, my soul looks back in wonder at how I made it over. Come on, somebody. Have you ever just stopped and thank God for saving you? Have you ever just stopped and thank God because you were reminded of how it could have been? The old folks used to say it like this. They used to say, I could have been dead and sleeping in my grave, but God, you made death behave. My God, God is an awesome God. Listen, listen, listen. When you peel back all the layers of all of your church years, your Christian years, when you pull back all the layers, amen, you can see just what it is that God saved you from. When you look back through your scrapbooks, find old schoolmates on Facebook, come on somebody, you start seeing just what it was that God saved you from. And I want to tell you right now, I never shall forget where he brought me from. Come on, somebody. My soul looks back in awe and wonder at how I made it over. Listen, I'm getting ahead of myself here. But this church was made up of all kind of people. It was all kind of thugs. Come on, somebody. It was all kind of religious folk. It was former riches, witches and warlocks, folks that had devils cast out of them. Come on, somebody. This church was made up of all kind of folks. Amen. But the thing about it is that when people come into the church, unfortunately, they bring a lot of what they experienced in the world with them. Amen. Amen. They had become a religious body rather than a spirit-filled body. Praise the Lord. They had fell into form and fashion, those things that caused them to deny the power of God. Praise the Lord. They were a culture people, but they were not always a Christian, participating Christian. They boasted a lot about themselves. Amen. They boasted a lot about who they were, but they did not strive to be holy. Amen. They preached about principle, but they didn't want to live the principles of God. They were lazy when it came to holiness. Purity was odd to them. They lacked spiritual purpose and determination. You know, when the saints of God fall away from walking out their true calling of God, when they fall away from the real purpose of which they were saved, amen. And how many know that the basic reason why any of us was saved was not only to miss hell, but Jesus said that once you get saved, now you need to become witnesses of him. Now you need to walk holy before him because he is holy. The Bible says that God has predestined us unto good works. The purpose of him saving you, the purpose of him saving me, was for us to glorify God with our body. Amen. You don't have to make it complicated. Come on, somebody. Stop making it so complicated. You were saved to be a witness. Amen. You were saved to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ. Once the Lord saved you, you should have gotten up from where you are and went out to proclaim to everybody who Jesus Christ is. But you know how we've gotten in the church. Now we have fallen subject to what the law says about you can't pray in school. Come on, somebody. We have fallen prey to popular opinion that says that you need to keep your Jesus and the testimony of it within the walls of your church. But how many know the devil is a liar? Some of you weren't even in church when you got saved. When the Lord saved me, I wasn't in church. I was on my knees at the foot of my bed. Come on, somebody. After I had just missed being shot to death in the street, I ran home and got on the side of my bed and I said, Jesus, save me now. Come on, somebody. I could have died that night, but it was by the grace of God that I got another chance, and now I missed the probability of lifting up my eyes in hell. Amen. But people, the saints of God, will get afraid to speak the name of the Lord, the same Jesus that saved them. Amen, because popular opinion told you to shut up, but how many know the devil is a liar? Everything and anything is coming out of the closet, and Christians are disappearing. Come on. We are more concerned about getting a personal prophecy of material goods than we are about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with our neighbor. Amen. Amen. But these people had fallen into religion. Praise the Lord. They didn't want to walk holy. They didn't want to walk righteous before God. They felt like that it's the practice of religious actions that made them holy before God. Listen, I don't care how many auxiliaries you are in. I don't care how many choirs you sing in. I don't care how much tithes you give, and you should give your tithes. Come on, somebody. But if you're just giving it, amen, because you feel like that exempts you from being a witness, that it exempts you from walking holy before God, that it exempts you from walking in forgiveness, that it exempts you, come on somebody, from having an active prayer life, that it exempts you from walking in the word. Listen, no amount of religious activity can replace the spiritual aspects that God expects for you to walk in as being a part of the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. Religion don't mean nothing. The Bible says that the letter killeth, but it's the spirit that makes it alive. Praise the Lord. There is no power in religious activity. Amen. There is no power in your auxiliary. There's no power in the fact that you're a member of the nurses' guild. There is no power in the fact that you are the armor bearer. Come on, somebody. There's no power in the fact that you carry the preacher's bag. Amen. There's no power in the fact that you know how to fix the red Kool-Aid. Amen. The exact way he like it. Come on. Amen. There's only power in you walking by faith and not by sight, trusting in the name of the Lord. Amen. So then these people consider walking, amen, in the spirit to be an oddity. Amen. The Corinthian church had a give up attitude. They could not be faithful to what it was that God had put before them. And you know, anytime, amen, the people of God can't be faithful, they start falling into sin. Praise the Lord. Lord have mercy. They start falling into sin. Amen. You can't come into the kingdom and then throw in the towel. Amen. They had a give up attitude about them. They came into the kingdom of God and they threw in the towel. Look in your Bibles, amen, and I hope you are able to open up your Bibles. Maybe you got it on your phone, praise the Lord, amen, or maybe you got it in your head, amen. Maybe you done hear this word in your heart. But look at Matthew, amen, chapter 13, amen, and let's read something here in Matthew chapter 13. And I want you to pay particular attention to verse number 20, 21. This particular passage of scripture is right where Jesus was talking about the sower that sowed the word. Amen. There's so much revelation in this. I never get tired of reading about this particular parable that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 13. But I'm not going to read the whole thing, but in verse number 20, it says, "But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that hears the word, and anon with joy receives it." Amen. You know anybody like that? "Yet hath he not root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended." Amen. "Yet he hath no root in himself," verse 21 says, "but he endures for a little while. For when tribulation or persecution arise because of the word, by and by he is offended." Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, one thing that we must make clear to people when they are coming into the body of Christ, amen, they may receive it with joy at the beginning. Praise the Lord. And it feel good. You know, when I came to the Lord and confessed, come on somebody, and I finally went to the church later on that day, that next day, after I asked God to save me on my knees right there in my bedroom next to my bed, the following day I went to church and I confessed and I said, praise the Lord. The Lord has saved me. Come on somebody. People clap. Oh man, they clap and they shouted. They hugged me after church. Praise the Lord. Amen. But how many know that right after that I found out that some people may be excited. Amen. Some people may have been rejoicing at my coming in. But when I walked out the church, left the church ground, I found out that everybody in the world was not excited about my salvation. And it was at that point that I had to make up my mind, either I was going to stand or I was going to throw in the towel. Come on, somebody. The Bible says that this man received the word with joy. But when persecution and tribulation arose, amen, it caused him to fall away. He became offended at the very thing that was meant to save him. Amen. Now we have only to look in the news today, and I know some of you may be saying, you know what, Pastor, you're right, because I'm going through some persecutions right now. It's folks that don't like me. Come on, somebody. It's folks talking about me. It's people lying on me. Amen. And you just being persecuted on every side. Amen. Your wife done left you. Your husband done left you. You just being persecuted. But we have only to look at the current events in the news to see the type of persecution that goes on in the world. I remember when Columbine happened, when that young man shot up Columbine, and the reports are that there was one young lady in there as he was isolating the ones who he was going to murder in cold blood. He asked her, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" And here was this young teenage girl in high school who went to school that day to learn, praise the Lord, and found herself standing between life and death. And the only thing that could have saved her physical life was a denial of Jesus Christ. Maybe. And that man asked her, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And the report is that she looked at him and said, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. And he shot her dead right where she was at. We have only to look at the current events. Come on, somebody. In our country, where they are challenging your belief, not only in your salvation, but also in the word. They are challenging you. They are daring you to stand up against the notion that same-sex marriage is okay. They are daring you to continue to speak out that marriage is between a man and a woman. Come on, somebody. They are daring you to speak out against abortion. They're daring you to speak out against anything that stands against the word of God. Amen. And there are many people, maybe some that's listening to this broadcast, that have buckled under the pressure. This scripture is talking about those very kind of people who receive the word with joy, who walk around saying, I'm saved. But when persecution arises, I'm talking about true persecution. When persecution arises because of the word, when they tell you that you can't say the name of Jesus on the job, but everybody else can tell dirty and nasty jokes, speak about their escapades over the weekend, talk about getting drunk and getting high, come on somebody, and sleeping around with this one and that one. They can talk about any and everything on your job, but they tell you to shut up about that Jesus. Amen. When you stand between right and wrong, will you choose, come on somebody, to shut up or will you stand? Amen. There are groups around the world that are making videos. ISIS is making videos where they are severing the heads off of the saints of God and then sending out the message that this is a message to the nation of the cross. Listen, there are already reports that ISIS is crossing over the borders into this nation. Come on, somebody. Those are just reports. Come on. But don't you think that persecution will not come to your doorstep? And listen, saints of God, I'm telling you right now, if somebody lying on you will cause you to falter, if somebody telling a tale on you will cause you to falter, if one person walking out of your life will cause you to falter, come on, somebody. If you can't stand because somebody lied on you, if you can't stand because somebody talked about you, if you can't stand because they didn't sing your song in the choir, come on somebody, or they didn't speak to you, or somebody got an attitude with you, or you got mad because the pastor wanted a new car or a new airplane, or if you got mad because you don't like what the pastor said, he stepped on your toes, if you can't stand against those in those light afflictions, when true persecution comes to your doorstep, who shall be able to stand? Come on. Amen. You don't want to be like these people that throw in the towel because they are more concerned with walking in the flesh than walking in the spirit. Amen. What happened with them is that this man that became offended when persecution arose, he became offended and he stumbled. Why? Because he didn't have no root in himself. He didn't hide the word in his heart that he might not sin against him. Maybe he received the message, the part of the message that only said that God want to bless you, that God want to make you prosperous. Come on, somebody. That God want to make you big. He want people to know your name. Come on. I've heard people prophesy to people that said that God is going to make your name great. But what they don't understand is that when your name is made great in the kingdom of God, amen, it will come with great persecution. It will come when you have to make a decision whether you're going to stand for God or whether you're going to buckle under the pressure. The Bible says that this man didn't have no root in him, that he only endured for a little while, and he gave up. That meant that his shout was shallow. His lack of determination muted his message. It cast away his testimony. He desired fortune without fortitude. He became helpless rather than hopeful. Come on, somebody. And the biggest, and sometimes the biggest enemy to standing for the Lord, amen, is the fear that surrounds it. Amen. Sometimes people are overcome with fear. Fear is a strong emotion. Amen. It comes when you are afraid enough of something that it make you either want to fight or flee. It makes you anxious. Your heartbeat will speed up. Amen. Because of the fear that something is going to go wrong. Amen. Fear can take you over. This is what Paul was trying to admonish the young Timothy, not to be overcome with the spirit of fear. He told Timothy, son, God did not give you that spirit. That is, you're operating in something that God did not give you. He didn't give you that spirit. You picked it up from somewhere else. And people of God, there are many of us that are involved in things that cause us to pick up stuff that God did not give us. We try to justify it. Come on, somebody. We try to make it right. But the truth of the matter is there's a spirit, a behavior, a way of thinking that's on you that God did not give you. Timothy told Peter, Paul told Timothy, son, God did not give you that spirit of fear. And in essence, he said, come out of it. God didn't put that in you. You've got to operate in what God put in you and stop operating off the stuff that you have picked up walking in the flesh. The Bible says in Matthew 13 that this man had no root in himself. He didn't have no endurance, and it cost him his testimony. Come on, somebody. Amen. It cost him his testimony. True persecution is coming, and I'm not trying to be a doomsday prophet, but I'm trying to give you a word that will prepare you. Listen, you got to make your run for it right now. Come on, somebody. Don't be controlled by fear. Sometimes fear is connected to your ego. Amen. When fear is connected to your ego, praise the Lord, that's when you're trying to guard your image or the way that people perceive you. You're trying to live up to the image that you have tried to make people believe that you are. This is called saving face. This can cause you to become a coward because you don't want people to see who you really are. But let me encourage you. It's hard work to be an image. It's hard work to be a facade that you have built up. It's hard work to be that alter ego. Come on, somebody. But the easiest thing in the world for you to be is who God made you to be. When you are who God made you to be, you don't ever have to worry about your ego tripping. You don't ever have to worry about, come on, somebody, people finding out who you really are. You don't have to worry about the right people loving you or hating you. Listen, if they love you, at least they love you for you. If they hate you, at least they hate you for you. But one thing about it, you got your friends being yourself. You lost friends being yourself. You got the job being yourself. Come on, somebody. You got your mate being yourself. Amen. When you be who God called you to be, you don't ever have to worry about trying to keep people from finding out who you really are. Amen. Amen. This kind of mess make you fearful of opportunity and risk. Listen, I got a news flash for you. Everybody fails. Everybody done been embarrassed at some point. Everybody done had egg on their face. Amen. But you cannot embarrass yourself by being somebody else. Listen, if you gonna fall, fall being yourself. If you gonna rise up being who God made you to be. Come on, somebody, because your failures and your successes is gonna be a part of your testimony that's gonna help people to overcome the world. Praise the Lord. When you walk through this life being who God called you to be, you don't be afraid to give your testimony. You don't be afraid to tell somebody that I once was lost in sin, but Jesus took me in. And now the light from heaven fills my soul. Amen. You are not afraid to tell people, I struggle sometimes. Amen. Sometimes I'm standing on the precipice, like Asaph was when he said, "My foot had almost slipped." Come on, somebody. My foot had almost slipped in Psalm 73. Asaph said, my foot had almost slipped. Amen. Until I went into the house of God and I saw the end of the evil one. Amen. There is no embarrassment in letting people know that as you have walked with God, there have been times when the enemy tried to bring something on you to conquer your soul. But when you don't operate in the spirit of fear, come on, somebody, when you say God didn't give me this spirit, but he gave me the love, peace, and a sound mind. When you understand that you've got to walk in what God gave you, you can cast off all of that fear and start walking in what God told you to walk in. Listen, I got to move on. I might not finish this today. Amen. But persecutors and persecutions should push you forward. Come on, somebody. When you are persecuted, it should cause what God has put in you to rise up and cause you to push forward into what God has called you into. Listen, every time you set out to do something, it's not going to always work in your favor. Come on, at least not in the way that you want it to. But if you just keep pushing forward, God will get you to the place of your breakthrough. So your persecutions, they should push you forward. They should encourage you to move forward. Listen, if the devil is not attacking you, if you are not creating enemies walking for the Lord, then you're walking for the wrong person. Come on, somebody. The Bible says, woe unto him that everybody speaks well of. If everybody pat you on your back, come on. If nobody ever get offended by the word that you give, then something is wrong. Amen. Every time you speak the word of life, somebody may receive it with joy, but there's always going to be somebody that get offended by the message that God has given you. Amen. So your persecution and your persecutors ought to push you forward. In Psalms chapter 3, amen, in Psalms chapter 3, looking at verse 5, it says, I laid me down and I slept and I awake, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves round about me. Arise, O Lord, and save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly, and salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Listen, what is he saying here? This is a psalm of David when he was being persecuted, when he was fleeing from his own son Absalom, when he was fleeing from the one that was trying to kill him. Amen. And he said that there are many that be around him, which says that there is no help for me. How many know that the devil is a liar? Your enemies will tell you that there is no help for you. But I came to tell you that there is help for you. The Lord God is your helper. Come on, somebody. There is help for you. The Bible says that God will fight for you. And when David had got this in his spirit, when David had come to rest on the fact that there is help for him, he was not going to believe his enemies when they said, nobody is going to come to your rescue. But listen, some of you out there can testify that God came to your rescue. Listen, he may not have come when you wanted him to, but you can testify that he came right on time. They had began to tell David that there's no help for you, that nobody's going to come to your rescue. But when David got it settled in his mind that God was the one that was protecting him, he said that he laid down and he slept. Listen, the Bible says in Psalms 23 that God will put you in green fields. He'll put you in green pastures. He'll cause you to be able to rest. He will prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. Come on, somebody. David said, I laid down and I slept. I slept good. Come on. Even while the enemies was out there preparing a plot against him, because he rested in what God said, he said, I laid down and slept. Listen, I want you to stop losing sleep over what the enemy is trying to bring against you. You may have to rest. You may have to sleep. But the Bible says that he that keepeth Israel shall never slumber nor sleep. Come on, somebody. While your eyes are closed, God is still watching over you. While you may be feeling like that you're by yourself, God has surrounded you with an innumerable company of angels. And David said, I laid down and I slept, and he slept good. Come on, somebody. He was not afraid because he knew that God would sustain him. He said, I laid down and I slept, and I awoke because God sustained me. He protected me. When the enemy tried to come in like a flood, God raised up a standard. God caused his enemies to flee seven different ways. When people are trying to lay hands on you for the wrong reason, you've got to put your trust in the Lord that he will sustain you even when you can't sustain yourself. He'll protect you even when the enemy is trying to sneak up behind you. He's going to sustain you from the lies. Come on, somebody. He's going to protect you from the rumor. He's going to protect you from the weapon that is formed against you. Why? Because God wants you to know that it's all right for you to make a run for it. That's why Paul said that there are those that run this marathon race of walking with God. He said there are some that run this race, but there are some that give up. But you got to train yourself. Come on, somebody. When God revealed to you just what it is your destiny is, you've got to train yourself for completion. You've got to begin to train yourself. You got to work hard. Come on, somebody, so that you will have endurance. That's why the Bible says that we ought to stay in the Word. We got to study the Word. We got to become a proven workman so that we won't be ashamed. That means you got to have in you what's necessary so that when persecution get hot, when the calamities that try to come up against you come to take you down, you'll have enough fight to sustain the heat of the battle. When it comes to you having to run this race with patience, you will have enough determination inside of you to not only start it, not only to get to the middle, but you will have the power in you to finish. Come on, somebody. And isn't that what it's all about? God just wants you to finish. Amen. He don't want you to be a disappointment. He don't want you to be a failure. God is saying, I want you to finish. That's why I want you to train to obtain. That's why I want you to run this race. I want you to start training yourself. Paul said, I keep my body under subjection. What was he saying? He was saying, I'm training. I'm working hard. I'm looking forward. I'm thinking about every scenario. Come on, somebody. I got my prayer life strong. I'm believing God by faith. I make sure I stay in the Word. He's training to obtain, so that when it gets out in the middle of his journey, when he done went too far to look back, come on, somebody, and he got to move forward, when it get to that point where he is in the middle of a struggle, when the devil is speaking the loudest, when the enemies are at the highest number, when they try to close off every escape route. You remember how it was with Moses and the children of Israel when they were boxed in at the Red Sea, when the mountains was to their left and their right, and the advancing armies of Pharaoh was behind them. When Moses cried out to God, God said, Moses, why are you crying out? Use what you got in your hand. Come on, somebody. He was letting Moses know, Moses, this is what you were training for, brother. This is what all of those years in Egypt was for. This is what all of those years in exile was for. This is what all of that training and contemplating on the backside of the desert was for. This is what all of this was about, the burning bush, the taking off your shoes, telling Pharaoh to let my my people go, the miracles, the plagues, come on somebody, this was to bring you to this point. Come on. He said, stop crying and use what you got in your hand and stretch it out over the Red Sea. And don't you know, because he had the endurance, God came to his rescue right when they was boxed in. Come on. When every natural way of escape was not there, God provided a supernatural way. And I want you to know that when you don't went beyond, when you don't got to the limits of your natural ability, God will provide a supernatural way of escape. That's called breakthrough. That's called the miracle. That's called when the walls come tumbling down. God will do what no other power can do. So what was God telling Moses? He was saying, Moses, make a run for it. Don't give up in the midst of the journey because the persecution got high. Don't give up because the enemy is surrounding you and the natural barriers are preventing you. That is the time that you got to trust God. Remember what I said. Remember what I prophesied over your life. Remember what I spoke to you in your secret closet, and take that and make a run for it. That's why Paul said, I run this race with patience that I may obtain the prize. And I want to tell you, you got to train to obtain. You got to run so you can make it. You got to get your second wind in the midst of this battle. You've got to lock your mind on what God said and say, God, I'm going to finish this race. I'm going to finish this course because there's a prize that's waiting on me at the end. Come on. That's why the old folks used to say, I believe I'll run on and see what the end will be, because there's something at the end that's waiting for me. Come on, somebody. I don't know about you, but I feel the presence of the Lord. God is saying, run on. Come on. Because there's something at the end waiting for you. There's victory at the end. There's a manifestation of glory at the end. Come on, somebody. There's power at the end. There's a new anointing at the end. There's breakthrough at the end. The next level that you have been praying about, God is saying, finish this race. And when you finish this race, you can go to the next level. When you finish this course, you can see things that you didn't even know existed, because I haven't seen, ears have not heard of the things that God has prepared for them that believe him. And I don't know about you, but I want to see something different than what I've been struggling with. I don't want to die and the last thing I see is the face of my enemy. No, no. I don't want to die and see the enemy celebrating over my downfall. The devil is a liar, because God said that he won't allow the enemy to have the last laugh. He won't allow the enemy to laugh over your death. Come on, somebody. But God said that I would destroy all of your enemies. I'll quiet the mouth of your detractors. Come on, somebody. He said, I will fight for you. That's why you've got to make a run for it. And don't you know that every step of the way, God is running right there with you. That's why the Bible says that God will give us a comforter that will walk beside us, the Holy Ghost, that will walk with you, that when your body want to give up, you will begin to declare that my body may be weak, but my spirit is willing. Because God will put some fight in you that won't cause you to fall in the middle of the marathon, but he'll give you your second wind so that you can see this thing through. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God would do that for me. Come on, somebody. And you know what? What he did for one, he'll do it for the other. So while you stand praying, forgive. While you are being focused on for fatality by the enemy, you ought to say, devil, no weapon formed against me will be able to prosper. Every obstacle that you come to while you are running this race, you ought to run up to the obstacle knowing that you have enough in you to go over it, go through it, or go around it. Come on, somebody. You ought to just start rejoicing right where you are, because God is telling you, have enough determination to make a run for it. Remember what I said to you at the starting gate. Come on, somebody. If I told you to go to the other side, you ought to just go on the fact that the word of the Lord is go and get to the other side. Amen. You ought to put your hand on your chest and say, I'm making a run for it right now. I'm getting up from where I am, and I'm going to arrive in the place of my destiny. Hallelujah. I'm going to rise at the place of my destiny because God said that I can make a run for it. The Bible tells us to count it all joy when we fall into divers temptations. Amen. You ought to start counting up your joy points. Amen. Isn't that what James said? James said, count it all joy, honey. Count it all joy when things come up against you. Count it all joy when tribulation comes. And he said, count it all joy. You may not be shouting through it, but you ought to just count it all joy. You ought to tell yourself, it's for this cause that I came into the world. Amen. I didn't come into the world to be saved, to be a quiet Christian. I didn't come into the world to start accepting any and everything that come down from the pipeline from our first black president. I didn't come into the world to accept anything that pop psychology is telling me to accept. I didn't come into the world just to stand on a foundation that's not solid, but I came to build a house on a solid foundation. I came to build a house of God. Come on, somebody. I came to take my place, amen, and be a lively stone in the household of God. I came to do my part in the kingdom. Come on, somebody. I came to stay in my lane, amen. I came to stay in the lane with the gift that God has put up on my life. I'm not going to be concerned about what somebody else is or what somebody else is saying. I came to be who God said I am. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I tell you that when God finishes with that, when we begin to know that no weapon formed against us will be able to prosper, amen, we will know that God is standing for us. That's why James said, count it all joy. Amen. Count it all joy. Count all of it joy. When you're crying, count it joy. Whatever the situation is, you ought to count it all joy. Amen. Listen. Listen, saints of God. Amen. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4, amen, the Bible says that we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or as it is necessary, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all towards each other abounds, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and for your faith in your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Paul said that we are praising God because you are enduring through persecution. Amen. We are praising God because you don't give up. No matter what the enemy tries to bring against you, you decide that you're going to stand for what God said. Hallelujah. So now it's time to make a run for it. Have enough determination on the inside of you to finish your course. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to stop right there. We got some callers on the line, and I want to get to them. Praise the Lord. I pray that this word has blessed you. Amen. But we are going to get to some of these callers. Amen. We're going to get to some of these callers. Listen, if you would like to speak with me directly, amen, go ahead and hit 1 on your telephone. And that will let me know that you want to speak with me, amen, and I will be more than glad, amen, to talk with you. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll be more than glad to talk with you. Amen. Amen. I'll be more than glad to speak with you. Amen. Caller whose phone number ends in 7136, are you there? Praise the Lord. Caller whose number ends in 7136. Amen. Are you there? Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Caller whose number is ending in 0923. Are you there? Do you have anything you would like to say to me on today? Praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah. Yes, I would.
Amen.
Who am I speaking
with?
From the past.
Who is this?
Let me throw out some names to you. Dr. Joseph
okay.
Wheel, Dr. Earl O'Neill, and Dr. Henry Gibbs.
Amen. Throw me out some more names. I'm still at a loss.
Mrs. Brooks.
Mrs. Brooks.
Our
okay, you're gonna have to. You're gonna
teacher.
Have to. Say again.
Our fifth grade teacher.
Our fifth grade teacher. Wow. I remember Ms. Maitland. I remember who is this? Adam Somerville.
Yes, it is.
Well, God bless you, brother. Good to hear you. Good to hear you. You sent me a message and told me that you were going to call in. Amen. How you been doing?
Pain issues right now.
I hear you. I hear you. Amen. Is there any comments that you have about the message? I know your background, but are there any comments or questions about the message today?
One little correction.
Okay.
Witches are both male and female. Warlock means oathbreaker.
Right.
So those of us who are of a non-Judeo-Christian Islamic religion kind of find offense to that.
Right, right.
So
you
might want to, you know, not use that word because that has a negative connotation. In the old days, if you were an oathbreaker, you were killed.
Well, you know,
no ifs, ands, or buts.
Well, you know, in the spirit of the Word of God, Adam, you know, there's a lot that's been said in this world about the saints of God that is offensive. And one thing that I really don't mind doing is offending witches or warlocks, because they are, it's not a matter of being a Judeo-Christian belief, but it's just the matter that they stand completely contrary to the Word of God as we as the saints of God believe it and see it. And so
witch, if you go back to the original translation of it, meant wise one. Remember.
That could be the meaning of the word. But the true essence of their behavior, because see, look, we wasn't the one that came up with the current and even the historical view of what a witch is. Even secular books, television, books of old have portrayed witches as being evil, and the Bible portrays witches as being evil. So the word may have a positive meaning in its original meaning as wise one, but the actions of it and the meaning of it is what has caused it to become evil. No matter what the beginnings were, witches have often and traditionally exercise themselves as being contrary to the word of the Lord. Amen. But you know what, Adam? I want to ask you this. I want to ask you this right here on our broadcast, because I do have to move on to another caller. Would you be willing to do a broadcast with me where we deal with these type of issues? And that way, you and I both will have an opportunity to speak at length about the two sides that we stand on. Would you be able to do that?
Oh, no problem.
All right. Well, I tell you what, you and I, we will get together later on and set up a date and a time. I think our listeners would love to hear that. How is that?
All right. No problem. And since I'm nocturnal.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is getting to be my bedtime.
Well, we will do a late show then, one day through the week, a late show. But we'll get together on it.
We'll get together. I'll send you my full phone number later on, unless you already got it.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. I have it right here. I'll copy it down.
All right.
All right. Thanks, man, for calling
talk
in.
To you
I
later.
Look forward to it, okay?
Interesting little sermon you gave. You and Scott Sweeney need to get together.
Okay. Sounds good. And your number is the one ending in 7136?
No, 0923.
Okay. All right, brother. Well, we will talk soon.
All right. May the peace of the gods be on you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Amen. See, saints of God, You never know what you're going to hear on the hour of overflow and restoration. But listen, we are going to set up that broadcast with Adam. Me and him, we go back to elementary school, actually, I believe it is, and we want you to tune in and hear that. Listen, I have a caller on the line, phone number ending in 7136, 7136. Are you there, caller? Caller, are you there? Amen, amen, amen. I think people are a little shy this morning. Okay, I have a caller whose phone number is ending in 9298. Caller, are you there? Amen. Will somebody talk to me this morning? Praise the Lord. Somebody talk to me this morning. Amen, amen. Our callers are shy this morning, but they are listening in. I actually have almost a full line here, and if you want to speak with me, I want you to call up, hit 1 on your telephone dial, and that will let me know that you would like to speak with me. And listen, you can also contact me via telephone, 404-734-1342, after the broadcast. If you would like to speak with me, or if you would like for our ministry to come and visit your ministry, that will be wonderful. Listen, my name is Pastor D. Scott Christian, and my ministry is solely on internet. We moved our ministry to internet radio because we could have more of an impact that way. And this is something that God had really put in my spirit to do. So if you would like to get in contact with me, my phone number is 404-734-1352. You can contact me directly, or you can also hit me on Facebook. Just type in my name, Pastor D. Scott Christian, and you can and friend me on Facebook. And also, I want you to go to my broadcast website at www.blogtalkradio.com/OR Ministries. That stands for Overflow Restoration Ministries. Again, that's www.blogtalkradio.com. blogtalkradio.com/OR Ministries. Amen. Well, listen, thanks of God, we are going to let you go. Amen. Thank you, callers, for calling in on today. Amen. Sometimes the saints of God are quiet, and I just pray that you are contemplating the things that were said to you. So at this time, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray to close out this broadcast. Amen. And I tell you, I thank you all for calling in and tuning in. Please, and even after the live broadcast has ended, you can also listen in via podcast by looking up the web address that I just gave you at www.blogtalkradio.com/OR Ministries, and you can listen at some of our past messages and sermons and so forth. Even have a couple of interviews on there with some very special people as well. So please log on and download some of those messages, and you can listen to it in your free time. And tell somebody about OR Ministries, about the hour of overflow and restoration. Amen. And you can also contact me on Twitter at Pastor of Overflow on Twitter. At Pastor of Overflow on Twitter. At all one word, Pastor of Overflow. Praise the Lord. So I look forward to hearing from some of you. Amen. And let's just pray right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you will build up a determination in the people of God that they may run this race with patience, that they may run this race for the purpose of obtaining, that they were trained to obtain, that they will run to win in the name of Jesus. And God, I just pray for supernatural determination in all of the people of God, that they may finish, God, I pray that you will take away any spirit of fear that they may have, that they can finish the course that you have set before them. And, Father, we come up against every plan of the enemy, every plot from their protractors in the name of Jesus that would try to discourage or curtail them from finishing the race that they have started. And, Father, I just thank you, God, because I know that you have a hedge of protection around your people. And, Father, that we can move forward in the face of persecutions and problems and stand boldly for your name. And so, God, I just pray right now that you will cover the people of God, that they will walk by faith and not by sight. And, God, that we would move on from the first principles of your word and go on to maturity, Father, that we may be able to endure strong men. And, God, I thank you, Lord, and I just pray, Father, for anybody that's dealing with any hardships, Father, who may be going through, who may be on the precipice of giving up. Father, I pray for them right now in the name of Jesus and pray that you will strengthen them and heal them. Father, there are those that are going through problems and concerns that would try to discourage their soul. But, Father, I pray that you will be a brother that sticks closer than any, a friend that sticks closer than any brother. I pray that you will be a father to them, God, that they may feel your saving love in the name of Jesus. And God, if there's anybody out there, Father, that's not saved, God, we encourage them to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may escape, the punishment of those who refuse to accept you. And Father, we just thank you for this broadcast. Father, I pray that the word would be a blessing to someone and that we have accomplished what you have sent us forth to do. And Father, we thank you. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Listen, we will be right back here next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. on the Power Overflow and Restoration. God bless you. Amen.